coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studios. This is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Call it all prime timers. Da, 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 da.
Little game show music?
No, not game show music.
Oh.
I was never a big game show watcher.
Really?
What did I watch when I was growing up? I was homesick for a day, generally faking it. Probably watch Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal. That was your thing.
Who was a good one?
Carol Merrill, and what was the dude's name? Ah, people are screaming at their radios right now. Who was the Let's Make a Deal guy? Help me, guys. Come on, 312-274-9624. Help me. I'm in my prime time. A few things kind of drop out over time.
There were some really good game shows back in the day.
What were they?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the Press Your Luck?
No.
No whammy, no whammy, yeah. No whammy, no whammy.
Stop.
They try to, that one was great.
Oh, yeah.
Might have made it to Alaska.
Really? Oh, that was a classic. Obviously, The Price is Right
Price
was
is
a good
right.
one.
Jeopardy.
Name that tune. I can name that tune in three notes.
Well, what stunned me about that show, the couple times I watched it, how people could name a tune in two notes.
It'd be like,
it's insane.
Tune, tune. I Will Always Love You, but like, how did you know that? I couldn't name that tune if I heard the whole thing.
Oh, so funny.
Monty Hall.
Monty Hall.
Thank
that's
you.
Right.
Getting a lot of text pouring in here. Monty Hall. Thank you. It was Monty Hall. Wasn't it Carol Merrill?
I don't know.
I had no idea.
I think I had a crush on her.
Carol Merrill.
I don't think I knew what it was. But I think I'm even getting texts from friends right now saying, Monty Hall. Thanks for helping me out, everybody. We love you.
Interesting. Yep. She was
Lori Dorgan
known as
me.
The model on Let's Make a Deal, Carol Merrill.
Carol Merrill.
She's 83 years
she's
old.
She's still alive.
She is. She's still alive.
There
she's
you go,
83.
Carol.
So we'll be talking to her tomorrow. Carol.
That's great.
We're coming for you tomorrow. 60s and 70s today.
So she's 83?
83.
Boy. She was 20 years older than me?
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Seems to be the case.
Okay.
You know a game show I liked when I was sick as a kid? Carl would have no idea what this is. Allie, you
hey,
might.
Hey, hey, hey.
No,
hey.
I'm not even joking. And I'm
a man about the town here.
Okay.
I know things in this world. Not as worldly as you, though, so...
Do you want to tell me about Nickelodeon's game show in the midday,
no,
Temples of the Hidden Treasure?
No, I don't
yes. It's so good.
Definitely remember.
Oh, I love that one.
What with Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yes, Legends of the Hidden
My
Temple.
My brother really enjoyed that one.
Oh, it's so good.
I do remember catching episodes. And what was the objective?
The objective, it was kind of like... You played through the game and one of the kids, because it was always kids, because it's Nickelodeon, they got the opportunity to make a run through the temple, which was kind of like an Indiana Jones style
right.
thing. And you ran through these obstacles and you tried to get the hidden treasure at the end to win the game. And it was a ton of fun. It was like Kids Ninja Warrior almost.
Okay, so that show only aired, believe it or not, from 1993 to 1995.
Oh, I must have just been watching reruns.
So you
then.
Watched, you caught the reruns, so it was a very short-lived, but I definitely remember. That was a good one.
Oh, boy. Today we're going to be talking to you primetimers. Actually, going to have Rob West in here to speak to 60 and 70-year-olds. I had a stat given to me from good friend. He's my accountant, good friend, Marvin Smith, and he told me that most people in my age frame, the majority of Americans, have $50,000 or less put away for retirement. And we want to be as practical as we can be here today. And some of you, when I say those words, you're like, oh, I don't even know if I want to listen.
I don't want to be reminded.
Right.
Yeah.
But I want you to know something, guys. It isn't, we got to look at the spiritual principles, even in 60s and 70s of sowing and reaping. And I know those have been abused by some of the crazies on late night television because they're trying to line their pockets, but we got to be careful. 1 Corinthians 9 is real. And we've got to remember that God is the provider of everything. Coming up here in a moment, I'm going to give you a central passage of scripture. And I'm going to appeal to you in your 60s and 70s today to not retire from the life lived in Christ. Go strong to the end. Why? Because there's a benefit package and a half coming your way. Let's talk about it, all right?
I think so.
Let's get after it. Andrew Rippman, fill my cup overflowing. We got Allie's jokes today. She's getting all warmed up and ready for those. We got the whole enchilada coming at you, Boom Crew.
It's like coffee, but for your ears. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
One of my favorite men with regard to biblical counsel regarding money, finances, is Rob West. And I want to tell you why, Allie. This is one of the most godly, righteous, compassionate dudes going. I've heard tough stories called into his show. And he handles them all with such grace and class. It's just a joy to have him on Moody, isn't it?
It really is. So Rob West is the host of Faith and Finance, which you hear in the afternoons here on Moody Radio. He's the CEO and spokesperson of Kingdom Advisor. He has been at this a long time. Good morning, Rob. We are speaking to prime timers. That's what we're calling them, our 60s and 70-year-old listeners. Do you have a lot of listeners and callers in that age range on your show, would you say?
I absolutely do. And good morning. It's great to be with you both.
Good to have you, Rob. And I really want to get super, even if it's tough, I want to get super practical here. I heard from a good friend of mine, guy Marvin Smith, finance dude. I call him a bean counter with a personality. He's like you. But he's a wise man. I was talking to him about retirement, and it seems like there's a lot of people right now that are going to be retiring and they don't have enough cushion, and their stress levels are going to go up, not down, when they leave their job. What do you say to someone? I think the national average is like 50K in the bank when they're retiring or in a 401K plan and they're living off Social Security. We want to help our prime timers right now, Rob. So let's go through a lot of things. Let's tackle that tough one first. What do you say?
Well, I think it's a huge issue, Carl, as you correctly point out. So listen to this. An estimated 80 million baby boomers will retire in the next 20 years. That's 10,000 boomers a day. So those wow. over the age of 65 are the fastest growing age demographic in the U.S. So this is a massive issue. And the part of it is we're living longer, of course.
Yeah.
And so we have to confront this, I think, through a biblical lens and just say, what is the right perspective? Because I think so often the culture will say work is something you do until you make enough money. The biblical worldview says work is inherently good. And it's one of the ways we reflect the image of God. Now, we don't make it the source of our identity. It's to be an expression of our identity. And that's a season of life where I think we need to look at our income and our opportunities and our talents and look at those in a context in which this is a way I can fulfill my calling. But this idea that we were supposed to transition into a never-ending vacation is not biblical. So it's the balance between work and rest and service that matures over a lifetime, but our calling doesn't have an expiration. Now, you're exactly right. I mean, we do need to prepare for this season, and most Americans are ill-prepared. So listen to this. Less than half of Americans have saved more than $10,000 for retirement, and a third have no retirement savings at all. So what do you do? Because we recognize we will have to slow down. Our bodies will give out. We will have to transition away from paid work, as God leads. And so I think that's where we need to be saving. And so, you know, obviously this earlier we can start, the better, and be systematic in our savings. But if we're entering that season feeling ill-prepared, there are opportunities. I can extend my work life. I can continue to work part-time. I can dial back spending. Often the reverse mortgage is seen as a big no-no. It should be a tool that can be considered in this season of life to create income as well, or at the very least to eliminate that ongoing monthly house payment, which is usually our biggest expense. So I think, Carl, the big idea here is we need to look at this idea of retirement through a biblical lens, not take our cues from the culture. And there are solutions if we haven't saved enough.
Love it.
Now, there's a lot of fear that can come with this stage of life, and maybe you haven't thought that you've put your trust and faith and security in money, but then all of a sudden, if you approach a season where money may not be coming in as it has for many years, how do you counsel people who have some fear surrounding a slowing down income?
Yeah, well, I think the big idea is just to recognize where our identity comes from. Our identity is rooted in God. And as we lean into that and pursue His majesty with all that we have, and then be open to what God has for us in this season, understanding that appropriate rhythm between rest, maybe even sabbatical rest as you're transitioning out of a long working career, but not seeing that as kind of the new norm, but really thinking about this idea that I want to retire to something and not from something. And so I'm open to the Lord to say, how do I use the experience and the skills and the abilities you've given me to bring you glory, recognizing that, again, I was created in your image, the ultimate worker. And so work is good as long as we find that right rhythm and we realize that our identity is not rooted in our work. Now, you're right, Allie. I mean, the practical aspect of this is I've got to change with regard to my income. And so I'm transitioning into pulling out of a retirement account. I'm starting to collect Social Security. And so I just need to right size that budget, which is why I really encourage folks well before retirement to start working on that new retirement budget. Now, here's the reality. Most folks will live on about 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income in this season because the kids are off the payroll, hopefully. The house is probably paid off. I'm no longer saving for retirement. I don't need life insurance. I mean, so there's all kinds of expenses that come off the table. Now, health care tends to rise, of course, but everything else usually drops. And so once I look at that actual retirement budget and then start to match up the income to it, I think having a plan is what often will help folks work through some of those concerns.
Boom Crew, Primetimers, everyone, listen to me. This is one of the most powerful shows that we have and most practical on Moody Radio. 3 p.m. every day right here. You need to be listening to Faith and Finance. It's live and Rob West is killing it. Biblical worldview with everything related to finance and stewardship. And speaking of stewardship, Rob, when we get back, when things get tighter, economies go down, retirement's on the edge, maybe we've taken a little hit. The natural man tendency is to contract, especially with regard to generosity. Crazy enough, Scripture says this is a time when we should be expanding that sowing and reaping principle. Now, I know the guys on late night TV have totally screwed up sowing and reaping. I get it. But there's a biblical approach to it. Rob, when we get back, let's tackle that. More with Rob West in a minute and a half.
No matter your age and stage of life, God's got a word for you. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Talking money, questions specifically for primetimers, 60s and 70s. If that's you, we've got Rob West with us right now. He's the host of Faith and Finance Live, weekdays, 3 o'clock right here on Moody Radio.
Can almost be like a boa constrictor, Rob. We get to a point in life and we see that, boy, maybe we hadn't done some planning or isn't it my time for fun in the sun? Biblically, Rob, we've got this principle of sowing and reaping. I want you to pour out your heart about this because it's been abused at times to layer the pockets of people that are kind of presenting it. But biblically, this can layer our hearts with massive blessing, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when we look at Scripture, what just leaps off the page, Carl and Allie, is that we're to be generous. You know, we were created in the image of the ultimate giver, God Himself. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. So when we give, I feel like our hearts are calibrated to His. I feel like we're most like Him. And it's one of the privileges that we have. I mean, think about this. Yes, money is one of God's good creations. The problem is the world would have us worship the creation over the Creator. But when we put money in its proper context and we see it as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, yes, we're to enjoy it. Yes, we're to use it to provide for ourselves and our family. But yes, we're to give it generously. And that's where the joy comes from, because a couple of things are going to happen when you give. Number one, that grip that money can have over your life is going to be loosened.
Yeah.
Right. So the way I read scripture, the parable of the sowers, if something's going to derail God's word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return, it's most often going to be the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, according to Jesus.
Yes.
Well, the way we loosen that grip is we give it away. And here's the secret is now we get to participate in God's activity. You see, you and I don't have enough time. We're that vapor, right, that the Bible talks about. But God's grand story is from everlasting to everlasting. Well, our little blip on the radar from everlasting to everlasting is not long enough for us to have any kind of impact apart from being hardwired into God's grand story. And that's what happens when we give, is we're now a part of what God is doing to reach people and to change lives and to set the captives free to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
And ultimately for people to come to know the good news of Jesus. So what an opportunity in this season to be open-handed and generous and experience the blessing of giving.
Rob West, our guest right now. Give us a couple of the top things to keep in mind when it comes to legacy planning. Obviously, 60s and 70s, you want to be looking ahead and planning for the future and what you will leave maybe to those, your family. Give us a couple of your top tips for legacy planning.
Well, one is kind of a segue from what we just talked about, and that's what I love that Ron Blue says in his book, Splitting Heirs, which, by the way, if you're wrestling with questions around wealth transfer from a biblical worldview, not the tools and strategies, but kind of the why and the how, Splitting Heirs is the best book out there. Ron says, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And I think that's a great principle in this season of life. Number one, or number two, is communication. I think, you know, sitting down with your family and communicating your plan and the why behind it and the values that drove it, and maybe even remind them what God did that allowed you to create this wealth, his wealth that was entrusted to you, so you can pass on that those values. Transferring wisdom before wealth is essential. You know, remember, this is the last stewardship decision you will make, and it's a critical one. And the last thing you want to do is drop $1 million in the lap of a heir who is ill-prepared spiritually or financially to inherit this money. It could be a curse, not a blessing.
Yeah.
And so you need to think and pray through that. And what is the trajectory of their life? Wealth transfer plans will change over time, and they should, but we need to make sure we're leading with wisdom and not wealth. And then we need to communicate really well.
All right. I'm going to let you give your own banner ad. Rob West, I love you, bro, dog. I do. I love you.
The feeling is mutual, Carl.
I love you, man. You are just a spiritual stud muffin. So Faith and Finance, you have tools. You have an app. You have a budget planner. I want you, and we're going to spike again where folks can find you, but what are you trying to do to equip saints to be great stewards, and what are the best tools you have?
Well, let me just say this. Our vision says it all, and that is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. And so you might say, wait a minute, I thought you were a money show. We are. And so when God is your ultimate treasure, then the treasure of this world, the money that God has entrusted to you, now becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And so we use it in a way that glorifies him. So what are those practical tools? Well, let me mention two. You mentioned the first one, and that is the app, the FaithFi app. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance, or you can go to faithfi.com, click app. All of our content's there. It's the best content in biblical finance. Our community, where people are stewards like you, are posting questions every day, getting answers. And then our money management tool, where you can set up your spending plan and monitor your spending throughout the month. There's three different versions of it. So if you're a hands-off directional person, I've got a version for you. If you're hands-on and detailed, there's a version for you in there as well. The last thing I'll mention, Carl and Allie, before we wrap up, is our brand new study. So we're going to start producing studies going deep into scripture that take you in and confront the money issues that I think you need to tackle. The very first one just released last week. It's a 4-week study on the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. It's called Rich Toward God. It's beautiful. It's there for you to use personally or with your family or with a small group. It tackles what is true abundance. It tackles the pride and prosperity. It tackles the uncertainty of tomorrow. And it finishes with helping you answer that question, what does it mean to live rich toward God? It's there at faithfi.com. Just click on the shop at the top of the page. But we're going to be producing 4 of these, Carl, over the next 12 months.
Good.
I am so excited about every one of them that's currently under development.
Thrilling, thrilling. I think the value that you're adding to the kingdom is inestimable. And I'm not saying that lightly, Boom Crew. Check it out. Allie, where does everyone go?
Just text the word money. We've got a keyword for you. Text money to 312-274-9624. We'll get you connected with all the resources Rob mentioned right there. Just text money to 312-274-9624.
Wise men say.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Only fools run.
3 days to get here.
You've been waiting patiently, though.
I've been waiting, man.
But
it's Garland Crew Mornings. Hoping you take your next step with Jesus. I feel like crying right now, Boom Crew. I've got to tell you some important things. Howard Hendricks would visit golf courses. Somewhat a metaphor, but in truth, he spent the last 10, 15 years of his life doing some radical stuff. Who's Howie, right?
Yes.
Howard Hendricks is one of the, some of you, you in your 60s and 70s, you know Howard Hendricks probably, or you've heard of him. Epic author, phenomenal promise keeper speaker, Dallas Theological Seminary prof, spoke here at Moody Chapels a number of times. Amazing guy, amazing man of God, amazing dude. But he stood with us soberly before he went on to his reward down at St. Pete Beach at the Don Cesar Hotel. We're sitting in a conference room, all the speakers for Family Life Weekends to Remember. We're looking out over this beautiful ocean, sun shining. We've got some great stuff sitting in front of us here. Coffee's warm. We're listening to Howard Hendricks pour out his heart. He begins to weep over the church. He says, my great heartache is that we have a great loss in the church. The greatest men and women among us have wandered too far from the dynamics of the living, breathing church of God. And he said, you know, I spend a lot of my time talking great men and women off the golf course and back into the whoop and whoop of the church. I want to speak to you primetimers for a second. I want you to listen to me. And I am absolutely rabid and passionate about it. And I want you to wrestle with God about it. And I don't want you, I'm going to ask the Spirit of God not to let you up for air. Why? Because I love you. Listen to this passage from Colossians 3. Verse 23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. That's power-packed. The temptation is to trade in an eternal inheritance for an earthly retirement plan. That's the great danger.
What do you mean by trade in? So that I would be...
In practical terms, I think we have forgotten the fact that we're aliens and strangers here on earth today, and we get our eyes off the prize of this eternal inheritance that we're going to receive, and we're actually sometimes cashing old money that we received in an inheritance, and it inadvertently takes us out of the greater inheritance package that we have, and that's in eternity. Does this mean we can't golf? No. Golf up a storm. But my appeal to you is And I see this. And I think it's something we need to lean into. The ironic thing about primetimers, 60s and 70s, is they've got sacred scars that they can tell stories to 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds like crazy. They've got wisdom they can pour into kids that are coming into children's ministry like you can't believe. They have a tenderness of heart because they've been there, done that. They got the T-shirt shop, and they got nothing to prove because they've climbed that mountain. And they've got all of this collective biblical knowledge. Do you know how much biblical knowledge there is in primetimers? Stuff they've learned over the years that they don't even know they've learned.
I think the big question is how, because, I mean, I see a couple trends in the church. I know that there are many churches where the entire congregation is older, and so they're almost separate from the younger generation. But then there are many churches where, and this is where I think maybe a lot of you live right now, where you go, I would love to be asked to do something, but I feel like what's happening in the modern church is it's the 30s and 40s. We're kind of running things, and I don't really feel like I'm wanted or needed.
We got to work this from both ends. Both ends. Both ends. We've got to have the prime timers, 60s and 70-year-olds and older. We'll talk about you legacy leavers tomorrow with 80-plus. But we've got to have them offer themselves and actually say, I've learned some stuff. Here I go. To not see this earth as a timeline that we're living in and bifurcated into, boy, I've worked all this way, and now, you know, I've had my time in the sun. You know, it's a good thing to authorize younger people. A lot of older people have done this. A lot of people on church boards, they authorize the younger, and they're like, attaboy, way to go. But that's not the time to step away. Those younger people need you. Trust me. I've got evidence galore of how much younger people need you. It's all over out there. But also the younger people need to be able to see the wisdom that is being missed by not leveraging this collective wisdom of 60, 70-year-olds. I mean, ditches to stay out of, potholes to avoid, and then how to grow and walk in your faith. And we live in a time when we need everyone on the court. This post-Christian world that we live in, if we thought we could do it with a kind of a bifurcation of the body and the younger now that's their turn to lead the church.
Sure.
No, we need everyone on deck. And I want you to prove it to me, Boom Crew. I'm going to ask you a question. You're in your 60s or 70s. But the Spirit of God has called you to invest in the church, maybe like you never have before, and you're blown away by what God's doing. Just like yesterday, Allie, Boom Crew is the better teacher on this thing.
I'm with you. So if you're in your 60s or 70s, what has God called you to do in this unique stage of life that maybe you never could have done when you were younger? 60s, 70s, this is for you. 312-274-9624. What unique call has God given you to serve the church?
Yes,
in this
right.
stage of life? 312-274-9624.
And we want you to call in right now. I'm asking you. Yesterday we had four first-time callers. That's what we want. You're 60, 70, you're in your 60s or 70s, you're prime time. You heard the voice of God. He is having you pour into ministry. Maybe, Allie, more than they ever have before.
I love this question. 312-274-9624.
Yeah, call right now. 10 lines available. Let's go. Get as many of you as we can in here. I know it's early, but we're asking you to blow the cobwebs out right now. Let's get it started. 312-274-9624. Tragically, that's Brad Delp leading that song. He didn't find it. Took his own life.
Mm.
We live in a world that needs Jesus, guys.
Very much so.
I mean, we need a fair shot at the Savior.
Yeah, we do.
So we're asking you a question this morning, 60s and 70s.
It's your stage of life, prime timers. What has God called you to do to serve the church in this stage of life? You're in your 60s, 70s. What has God called you to do to serve the church? 312-274-9624.
Yeah, it's an awesome opportunity. We got 8 lines available. Let's just light them up, Boom Crew. I'm asking you to just pour them in here right now. Why is this so important?
Well, because this is the stage of life that's typically associated with retirement. My parents are in this stage of life, and I see them sort of grappling with, okay, what now? That's the big question. And I think the common wisdom is, well, you save, you put away, and then you just kick back and, you know, enjoy your retirement years and their enjoyment, yes, but.
Yeah, don't let that separate you from the whoop and warp and the dynamic of the kingdom life.
Exactly. Don't retire from the church.
We need you. We need you. Your mom and dad, they're awesome people.
Yes. So
I mean, they're incredible.
Stored up.
And I guarantee you they're under-leveraged in the Church of Christ. I guarantee it.
I would agree.
I don't even have to know what's going on. I guarantee it. We need you, Boom Crew. 60, 70-year-olds, we need you. Scott in Lockport, give us your story. Go.
Hey, good morning. Shout out to my better half, Lorinda, getting ready for work. Love you, hon. I'm 62, just had my John 3-3 birthday on January 27th.
Right and, on.
I was in the Marine Corps. We have 2 sons in the Marine Corps, Camp Lejeune and Iwakuni, Japan.
Wow.
And we have a number of military at our church. One of them is a woman that was in Afghanistan and suffered a friend's death in a Humvee IED explosion. And every anniversary of his death, she struggles. And it got me to thinking about having some kind of a support group at church, which we don't have for military. Or not a recovery thing, but just to sit down and have everybody come together and talk.
Yes.
And so I brought this up to our pastor, and nothing's happened yet, but I have to follow up on it. So
yeah.
That's kind of what's going on right now.
Right on. Scott, we need you in there. Let me tell you something, man. My dad was an elder at the church that I led in Alaska, but more than that, he rolled up his sleeves. He started a cancer support group, and he wound up having, no joking, Allie, 30 people in this group. He poured his life into them. They built almost like a sorority fraternity. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Way to go, Scott. Love you, man. Thanks for calling in today. This is the kind of stuff we need.
And for Scott, leveraging his experience and then what he just sees from his unique vantage point going, there's a need here. Let me step in.
Yeah, and think outside the boundaries. I mean, a lot of times we think, you know, I guess it's children's ministry for me. It might be. And by the way, the greatest children's ministry workers are these older folks. They're the best. They are. I've seen them in operation. They love these kids so well. It's radical. Dean in Grafton, Wisconsin. What do you say, Dean?
Well, first of all, you're pushing my buttons this morning simply because you're talking about Hendrix and all these other wonderful
people. I know.
I heard him at Founders Week 1 year, and he was fantastic.
He's unbelievable.
My wife passed away 10 years ago.
I'm sorry.
And I went through the doldrums, okay? I'm now 70. I just turned 70. And I really went through the doldrums, and then I got kicked in the butt, and God said to me, get involved. So I started getting involved with my men's group and did some one-on-one studies and things like that. And now I'm the director of our curriculum for our men's studies.
Wow.
Little plug for Carl. We're going to be using your 7 resolutions.
Yes.
So, you know, what goes around comes around. I really believe that young people need mentors. I didn't have that many growing up as a Christian. I got saved when I was 20 going to the University of Wisconsin. But I was involved with InterVarsity and Campus Crusade. And you got to get fundamentals in these young people. They
yes.
got to learn. And that's the one thing I really, really like about the older hymns is because there was so much theology
yeah,
and truth
meat.
In them.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's funny is there's been some of these newer songs that have been written that are hymn-esque. I'm thinking of In Christ Alone, where some of the younger writers, I mean, that's not a younger writer, but I think there's, You're right on, Dean. We need meat and potatoes in the church and offered up in love and compassion. Nothing like it. Dean, thanks, man. And I hope that T7R group goes super well for you guys. Thanks for calling in, Dean.
It's going. We went from about 5 guys. We're up to 25 guys now on Saturday mornings. So we're growing. We're doing it. And just keep leading on, Carl. You're doing a great job.
Well, we're going to keep plugging away here. Let me tell you, I sat with my wife talking with her last night. And although it looks like it's sunset in some ways for the greater movement of Christ in America and beyond, hey, the tomb is empty, baby. Our God is alive. This thing called Christianity, biblical Christianity, is alive and well. And we just got to stoke the coals. I'm thinking of the book of Jude. You know, Jude has in some of his concluding remarks in his book, he talks about the thee, the me, and the we. Let me just do this really quickly. The thee are those false teachers, those that had twisted grace out there, and he didn't even prescribe what to do with them. He just said, they're clouds without rain, they're waves that never crash on the beach, they're going to be there. I thought that was intriguing. It's like, they're pretenders, no mas, don't mess. All done. But then he says, but you get strengthened in the Lord. And then he says, the final admonition, oh, you got to have some mercy because there's some who are doubting. These are ones that are in the faith. Some have stepped into the fire of sin and some have their inner garment soiled, meaning they're living in some compromise, but nobody can see it because their outer garments are showing pretty good. And it's a powerful admonition. But you know what? If we don't have our prime timers out there, the doubters and the firewalkers and the closet compromisers, they're going to languish. We need you. Boom crew, we need you. We need you. 60, 70 years old. I want you to know how valuable you are to the church, how desperately needed you are. You listen to the Spirit of God. You listen to him. I promise you he'll direct you. I promise you he will not say, just keep going. He will not say that.
Just sit back. Let the younger ones handle it.
He won't say it. He won't say it. Oh, man. Every once in a while, I want to jump through this microphone and into your passenger seat. And this is one of them.
Here's a funny visual.
Yeah,
hey!
Boom!
Good morning. I'm here.
Making herself laugh no matter who joins her. It's time for Allie Thinks It's Funny.
Missed you last week. I was out sick, so did not get you jokes last week. But I'm
gave
back.
It to me.
I'm back and reloaded. First joke of the morning. What did the number 0 say to the number 8? What did the number 0 say to the number 8?
Those are two of my babies?
Wow, but I kind of like the creativity there.
Trying, I'm working something.
That belt looks good on you.
All right, that's a good one. I like that.
That is so good. That is so good.
I really like that one.
Oh, that is good. That is great. That is
okay,
good.
I got Carl on that one.
No, if you don't like that one, you don't have a pulse.
That one in particular, I think, gets kids going. It takes them a minute.
Take its prime timers going.
You got it immediately because you're a prime timer. For kids, it's
it takes them a minute.
Oh, yeah. That belt looks good on you. Okay.
Good for you to wear belts.
Joke number 2, and I want to thank Jackie from the Boom Crew who submitted this joke. What do you call the chicken who crossed the road? What do you call the chicken who crossed the road?
Dead meat?
No. Poultry in motion. Poultry in motion.
That's a little cheesy, but it's
pretty
good.
Thank you, Jackie, for that corny joke submitted.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I love it. If you want the jokes of the day, just text jokes to 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624. And if you have a joke to send my way, you can text those as well. I'll try to give you a shout out on air if I use it.
There we go. Okay, we got Rob West coming up here in just a moment, guys. We're going to get after him. Sorry if you called in. We are going to tap into you again at the top of the hour. We're having prime time day today. Prime Why is Carl time? Fired up? Because I'm a prime timer.
Like Deion Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do. We just kind of high-step it into the end zone. That's what we do, don't we, prime timers? If you're 60, 70 years old, come on, there's a party going on in here today. We're celebrating you. It's the best age frame that there can be out there. I'm at the younger end of it, but I'm in it. I'm in it.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Man, I got a song on my heart.
Which one?
I Will Make Room for You.
Okay, yeah. Let me see if I can find that.
I don't know why that's just hit my heart, man.
Okay.
That's just
a good one.
Man, it's a good one. Whew. Okay, Boom Crew, this whole week we're tackling every age and stage of life, and today we're talking prime timers, 60s, 70s. And this is, when we say prime time, it is. Now, here's the crazy maker. A lot of us don't know that it's prime time. We think it's past time. That's the great danger. We think we've passed our prime. Do you know that Caleb stormed into the promised land at the age of 80, robust, vibrant, taking hill country to the glory of God?
What makes you say that this is the prime time? Because you were really excited about this and even calling it that. What makes 60s and 70s prime time when many people would say 30s, 40s, 50s?
I think the biggest element, I mean, I could talk about, we've been there, got the t-shirt in the t-shirt shop, and you could use all these cool little euphemisms. I think the biggest thing is life is hard. You get stung, you get wounded, but most prime timers that have survived those things have these holy, sacred scars. They have learned so much. They've learned how to deal with life. They've learned many. Some are still growing. Some haven't gotten it. But a lot of prime timers have learned how to survive storms by getting their feet on the rock. And there's transferable principles. There's transferable knowledge. There's transferable wisdom that the body of Christ needs. It's no accident that Howard Hendricks said many years ago, with tears in his eyes, he said, I spend most of my time trying to get some of the greatest people off golf courses and into the hearts of people. No, he wasn't against golfing. But it's a parable of sorts. It's the idea that we're going to go, no, I'm not going to buy the world system that says we live, we work hard, we retire, and we die. It's a Colossians 3 mindset, verse 23 and 24, that says I'm going to work heartily unto the Lord, waiting for my inheritance, not here,
yeah,
not old money. Oh, I know, there's old money out there. But you know what's better than old money? That inheritance and glory blows old money out of the water.
Every single time. Well, have you looked at, like, some of the most influential people of the Bible were older than you would have expected. Moses was in his 80s when he started his ministry. And then you've got Joshua and Caleb, who were older men by the time Moses was done and they took over in leading the nation of Israel. You've got Daniel, who when he was in the lion's den, he was an old man. I mean, there are countless stories of people in the Bible who it's not like when they got to their even their 80s, they were done doing what the Lord had for them, that it was just time to sit and wait.
What do we find in Titus? Older investing in younger. We need you prime timers rolling up your sleeves, and I mean mixing it up in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We're going to take your calls in just a moment here, but I got to tell you that, let me give you an illustration. When I moved here to Chicago, I was doing radio. I'm a churchman at heart. 180 Chicago, we've got two campuses. I love the church. But this, what we're doing here on these mornings, it fits mine, Allie's Young Thunder Super Die. She's on vacation this week. It fits our wheelhouse. And I feel like God's called me here. There's no way around it. But I'm a churchman at heart. And I was sitting at a church in the burbs. And I've got this leadership gift. And I was going crazy. I was teaching from time to time at the church, great church. And you know what? I noticed that they didn't have parking lot attendants, and parking was crazy. So I went to Scott Ziegler and I said, Scott,
I've got to do something about this.
I'm going to go fix this for you. He's like, rock and roll. You know, one of the greatest joys in my life now is to drive past, and this isn't about Carl. I'm using this to illustrate, guys.
Absolutely.
A small thing. Driving past the bridge on the way to 180 Chicago Church, that's good distance from it. Driving past the bridge and seeing their parking lot attendants standing in a foyer, getting ready to go, sandwich boards outside, directional sign going. You would be blown away, primetimers. How many ways? It's not just your typical things that you think. How many ways you can be utilized in the church? And I'm not talking about forming a parking team alone. There's myriad ways we can be leveraged.
And so we want to ask you, what has God called you to do to serve the church in this stage of life? 60s, 70s. You're there. What has God called you to do? 312-274-9624. We want to hear from you. What has God called you to do to serve the church in this stage of life? 312-274-9624.
Glenn, Sun City, Florida. What do you say, Glenn?
Well, I retired a couple of years ago. Actually, before I retired, I was in charge of the maintenance at the church I was at in the southwest side. And there were a lot of widows. They would lose their husband,
yeah,
which means they lost half their income. People don't realize that, you know, when you retire,
yep,
each get an income. And they had a home they didn't know how to maintain, or they had to sell. And I had a service where I would go in and help them, and I would never charge. And my thing is, if you know, donate to the church. But now I'm in Florida and I feel like the child down here. I'm in a 55 plus community. And that's, you know, there are a lot, you know, somebody called, the yeah, water heater blew up. Another one, the golf cart. Well, so what about a golf cart? Well, that was her only form of transportation.
Oh, wow.
You know, and they're just things you'd have to fix. People don't realize when,
yeah,
you get old, you may end up with half the income,
yeah,
but the same expenses.
Yeah, Glenn, that is a powerful insight, man. And rolling up your sleeves and caring for people at that season, 60s, 70s, listen, let's get creative. Let's get creative. 312-274-9624. How are you in your 60s, 70s? Your temptation was, and you saw it happen, and people kind of moving away from service, and you go, God's Spirit is calling me in. What's he calling you into? What are you up to?
Let's go to Philip calling in from Aurora. Philip, what has God called you to do to serve the church in this stage of life?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. I love Glenn's heart. He said he feels like a kid. You know, yeah, God brought me here in 1952. I'm going to let you all do the math. But you know something, man. I love Joshua chapter 14 because, you know, Caleb is one of my biblical heroes.
Yes.
And when he stood up and shook his arm and said, give me that mountain, I said, yes, sir. Give me that mountain, man. You know, I retired,
yeah,
you know, back, you know, a couple of years ago, kind of forced into it. But God is using me so greatly right now, man.
Oh.
I'm running a creative arts ministry at my old church, you know, Pastor Mo City,
yeah,
City Line Bible Church. I'm coordinating the men's ministry where I get to pour into a lot of young men at Harvest Bible Chapel Aurora campus, you know, as you know, I'm doing some writing and,
yes,
got a little theater company out here where I get to do some acting and directing. So I feed that part of my creative spirit. But, you know, I told Jonathan that fact, one of the biggest blessings that God has placed on me is that he introduced me to the Glaucoma Research Foundation, wonderful organization that works with the technology to assist and, if not cure glaucoma, to help people deal with glaucoma.
And you're rolling up your sleeves there.
Man, I get to travel around the country speaking to people about patient advocacies on this disease that affects over 70 million people worldwide. And God is just saying, you want the mountain? Here's the mountain.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. Philip, thank you, man. Take the mountain, guys. That's what it's all about. Coming up here in a minute and a half, we're going to get back to the phone lines. They are pouring in right now.
What has God called you to do to serve the church in this stage of life? Speaking this morning to 60s and 70s prime timers. 312-274-9624.
Stop raining, everybody's in the way. And don't you know, it's a beautiful new day.
Hey, Darwin Crew mornings. Young Thunder's grabbing songs for the ages and stages of life. That one was a skosh self-serving there, but
well,
I'm with
you. Well, a little bit, but it's also 1976.
Yeah, no, it's good. No, I'm with you.
It's a classic.
I just got a kick out of it when I heard this.
It's a favorite, too.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Funny.
It's a classic for primetime and for Young Thunder.
By the way, that snapshot testimony that you just heard is a boom crewer, and Allie tells me I've not heard the whole thing. She says it is unbelievable. Text the word snap if you have not subscribed to Allie's Snapshot Testimony Podcast. Do it right now. Snap, S-N-A-P to 312-274-9624. Snap to 312-274-9624. We're going to go lightning round here, guys.
What has God called you to do in this stage of life, 60s and 70-year-olds, to serve the church? Let's go to Letha, first-time caller from Winfield. Tell us about what God's called you to do.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I'm currently 68 years old in April.
Okay.
But after 34 years of teaching, my very first missions trip with my church, I went to Haiti. And when there, I fell in love with my son. Hmm. So I adopted a 10-year-old at the age of 58. And then I adopted my daughter from China when I was 60. So now I'm, you know, the mom driving around too.
This is a beautiful picture.
Yes. Art classes and horseback riding and doctor's appointments and this or that, where my friends all have grandkids and I'm doing the mom thing.
Letha, yeah, I'm so proud of you, man. That is so cool. Letha, I got to tell you, sister, stay on the horn. You're getting a Carlin Cooper surprise pack. Not everyone else is today, but you are. This is for you getting home from going to art classes and horseback riding and being the shuttle mom. You come home, enjoy that Carlin Cruise prize pack. So stay on the horn, Letha. First time caller.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
That's what we're talking about. And the reason we're going here and talking with you guys is, listen, primetimer, 60s, 70s, easy to go to sleep at the wheel. But if we believe Colossians 3, 23 through 24, work heartily as unto the Lord, because you've got this inheritance coming down here. It's not an inheritance, it's earthbound. We're going for that inheritance in eternity. Let's get after it here, Allie.
Let's go to Teresa from Plainfield. Teresa, what's God called you to do to serve the church now that you're in this stage of life? Tell us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for opening this up and getting this discussion going. I count it such a joy and a privilege to be able to be involved in a ministry called Titus 2, where I get to, like your last caller, you said those two words, I get to speak into the lives of young women. It's out of Titus 2, the older women teaching the younger women.
Yes.
I get to mentor even like a new bride, or pretty new, a couple of years now we're into it. And it is just such, like I said, such a privilege. It's such a sweet treasure to be able to do this. It's priceless, really, to speak into the younger generation and help them understand God's word.
Yeah.
And then it's one on one. I do a couple of women, and it's also in a classroom setting. And to they just don't know how to avoid a lot of pitfalls in life.
Well, they do now.
And they don't know. They don't. they don't know how to not hold grudges and, you know, just to help them keep loving in spite of life circumstances and how people may treat you and all of that. It's, again, it's so precious. And I also do some lay counseling. And a lot of churches don't even have that, you know, offered up. So, again, I feel like I'm so blessed. It's such, these privileges are just set before me.
Yeah.
And I feel like I must act. I must do this.
I love
way
that,
to go, Teresa.
Thank
good
you
job.
So much from Plainfield.
Okay, we're going to go quickly here. Let's get you in. Barb, take it away. What do you got, Barb?
Yes, I'm a people person, so I love greeting and ushering. It's just so much joy in serving, greeting people as they come into the church. I just love it. And also in special events such as funerals or wherever they need me. And also they just announced that more families are coming, so they need more people serving in the kids' ministry.
And
so
you're doing it.
There.
And Barb, I want to tell you something, sister. That greeter at the front door is one of the most strategic ministries you can have in the church. It's the first touch some people that are coming in, hurting, wondering where in the world can life be found. And that greeting, that smile, whew, it's powerful. Let's get a couple more here, Allie.
Brenda, first-time caller from DeKalb. What's that thing God's called you to do to serve the church?
Hi. Well, it's twofold. Within my own church, because I have more time, I wanted to serve, but I'm gone a lot. So I vacuum the sanctuary. It's something that I can do that I'm not going to let somebody down if I'm not there. So I love it. I go, I can pray, I can sing as I'm doing it, you know, over my church. But then also in being gone a lot, and I'm so excited about this, my husband and I try to go to Belize every year, but it's not, we do not see it just as a vacation, but it's not an official missionary trip.
Yeah.
We go and we get plugged in with young guys that I think are considered to be kind of the throwaway people on the island. They're young, they're alcoholic. Some of them are homeless. And this year, I just knocked my socks off because we got plugged in with some. We invited them to go to this church that we had connected with the pastor who had been through struggles of his own.
In
God
Belize.
Had freed him from alcohol in Belize. So we invited them to go to church. And now this church that we were going to is like 3 miles away. So we had a golf cart. We said, we'll be at this park. We'll pick you up. And if they're extra, we'll get another golf cart, whatever. But anyway, we showed up. Nobody was there. And my heart sank. And here we look down the way, and here come 9 guys. They went to church with us.
9 guys.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to get all choked up.
It's okay.
One of them came up at the end and asked to go up for prayer to ask Christ into his heart. Then they all came up. And so we went to meetings with them. We went to Bible studies with them. We went to AA meetings with them, which we had neither one ever been to in our life. And so we supported them while we were there. And then the pastor let me know the Sunday that we got home. You know, I'm thinking, are they going to continue? 4 of them showed up to church on their own, and they are going and applying for jobs. The pastor's taking them under his wing.
Brenda, that is so amazingly cool.
Wow. Just wow.
It's called prime time.
Now we know why.
Oh, come on. How beautiful. Marianne, I got 30 seconds, sister. First time caller from St. John. Can you get it in here?
Yes. I am a retired nurse as of 45 years, and I started in a ministry at our church that started. It's called Hands and Feet, and I go and visit nursing home residents, and it's been life-changing.
That's beautiful, Marianne.
Yeah. And I'd prayed and prayed for a ministry like that. And when I heard about it, I signed up. And it's life-changing. I get to visit the residents and get to know their hearts and staff and praying for them. It's just life-changing. I get choked up just thinking about it.
Marianne, you're a hero to a lot of us today. All of you. This is power.
It's inspiring.
Can't get to everyone today. What a great problem to have, huh? Can't get to everyone that's got stories.
This will fire you up.
Oh, I know I'm past time. Wanda, get in here. First time caller. I'm going to take a few seconds. What do you got, Wanda?
Hi. I retired from corporate America, and my kids went to Christian school. And my daughter said to me, Mom, they need an administrative assistant in their elementary school. Can you do it? And I said, well, try. I put in my application. The principal called me, and he said, you've got the qualifications. And I said, well, if you'll accept a grandma, I would love to come and do it. And it's been almost 10 years. Wow. I don't call it working. I call it serving. And when I see the kids in the hallway, I go, hello, beautiful. How are you today? I compliment them. I see their smiles. And I feel like I'm inputting into the next generation.
In a
big way. So my administrative skills that God gave me, I'm still continuing to use. And I'm blessed.
Okay.
Wow. How much do those kids love Wanda? You just know it.
No, come on. Wanda's their hero.
No doubt.
See this? This is the beginning stages of spontaneous combustion of your friend Carl. I'm about to spontaneously combust.
Prime time.
Oh, prime time. Hang on.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Every age and stage of life. Today we're talking prime timers, 60 to 70s. Yep, that's the age frame we're looking at. And Young Thunder told me, oh man, I got so much good music, I'm not going to be able to play it all today. So Young Thunder, give us, come on, sample a little something. What you got?
All right, let me give you a quick second.
Funny thing is, this is... Carl, this is your music, but this is also Young Thunder's music.
He's like a kid.
He wasn't feeling the music of the 20s and 30s.
I really wasn't.
Era.
This is my stuff.
Old soul.
Ah, this is cray.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off.
You can just sit back and close your eyes to this
one. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much.
Crank this bad boy
at long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare.
That's right, I forgot that line.
The sight of you leaves me weak.
First time I saw my wife,
no,
I just couldn't stop staring at her.
Amen. Mine too.
But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true.
Here comes the big band.
Can't take my eyes.
Gotta have big band, baby. It's big here in a second, so you gotta stick around for that. They hit a stinger right here. I love you, baby.
I love you, baby. And if it's quite alright, I need you, baby. To warm the lonely night, I love you, baby. Trust in me when I say.
Carly, true mornings, helping you take your next step with Jesus. Keep that in the background.
Okay.
A
got lost in that song.
I know.
That's good, man. Ho ho.
1967 classic.
Yeah, my buddy Joe says, you seen this one girl on campus? I said, who's that? He goes, this. Really says, I just saw her. She's going from one class to another. She's got these blue high heels with this blue coat. It's middle of getting fall. I said, really? He said, yeah, I think you'd like this girl. I said, well, do you got a beat on where she's at? He said, yeah, I think she's coming out of that building over there. I walked over that way and I saw her step off of a sidewalk onto a onto a little pathway, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Trust in me when I say, that's God's will for my life.
And she was.
All right, guys. Enough of that nonsense. We're talking prime timers here today. And wow, what a day we're having. We're going to tee it up, and this is simple. This is simple. All we got to do is we just say, ready, set, and the gun goes off.
Yes.
So here's the deal in the church, and we just want to encourage you. We need you, 60s and 70s. We need you. I know the common vibe is you've worked hard and it's like hand it off to the next generation, but no.
So we're asking you, prime timers, you're in your 60s, 70s. What has God called you to do to serve the church in your stage of life? 312-274-9624. Already heard from many of you this morning.
Oh, man.
60s, 70s, doing incredible things. What do you say? What's God called you to do to serve the church? 312-274-9624.
Why is this so important, Allie?
Well, when you think about the retirement years, 60s and 70s, conventional wisdom said you've put in all of your work, you've done your time, kick back, relax, enjoy your latter years. But there's no call for retirement there's no call in the Bible to sit back and relax. And we need you more than ever. The wisdom that you've gleaned from many years of study, from many years of mistakes, we need you engaged in the church, prime timer.
Gotta have you. Gotta have you. There's just no way around it. You got these sacred scars. You get to point at them and go, let me tell you about this one. Yeah. Let me tell you what I learned here. Let me tell you what I learned there. Oh, you're up against that? I faced that 43 times while I've lived.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I've learned. Light them up. 312-274-9624. Now, you haven't gone to sleep on the job. You're leaning into the kingdom. You're working heartily unto the Lord. You're going to give a vision for other primetimers today because you are working for an inheritance that will not fade. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Light them up. 312-274-9624. Get back. Why not have some crazy primetime rejoin music? You never know.
I see trees of green. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
It's Carlin Crew Mornings helping you take your next step with Jesus, talking to prime timers here today. Got a call out for you right now. We're asking you to flood the zone. Got 8 lines available, and here's why this is so important. By what God is doing in your life to bring you maybe back into the church in a way that you're using your gifting like you never would have imagined. You're going to cast a vision for thousands of people, not only in Chicagoland, but across the U.S. We have so many people listening by app now. Let's go. 312-274-9624. You're 60, 70 years old, right in that range. Come on. Time to call, right, Allie?
Yep. What has God called you to do to serve the church in this stage of life in your 60s and 70s? 312-274-9624. Let's kick it off with Keith from Woodstock. Keith, tell us, what has God called you to do?
Hey, so about 4 years ago, our senior high leaders, who have been leading for about 25 years, stepped down from the ministry of leading the senior high kids. And I was, about 67, 68, somewhere. And I said, well, you know what? Nobody was volunteering. And I was like, well, you know what? I just feel called to feed into the next generation. And I said, hey, I'll volunteer. And as long as you want me to help, I'll do it. Well, it wasn't for a while, but I became the leader of them and then also the overseer of both them and the junior high. And at the same time, there was a guy who was 77 who felt the same call. And so we actually took over the that age ministry. And God has just kind of grown that, and it's been amazing. And I always hold it loosely. I say if a couple comes up and wants to do it, hey, I'm ready to give it. But as long as God has me here, that's what I'm going to do.
Phenomenal, Keith.
Hold on a second, Keith. You need to know something.
Sure.
Allie goes crazy over what you're talking about.
I love it. I love to have the 60s and 70s leading the high school and junior high ministry.
Why?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm pinning Allie down. Why do you love the Keiths out there right now?
You know what? You've lived long enough. You've seen enough life to be able to pour into kids in a way that 20s and 30s just can't yet.
Yeah.
And there's room for everyone. So don't mishear what I'm saying. But we need your wisdom, particularly for the young people.
Okay, we're going to go lightning round here. I mean, we are going to fly and get as many as we can in here. You might want to help out, Young Thunder. We're just going to cook here for a couple of minutes. Carol in Pingree Grove, what do you say?
Hi. Yes, we are part of Mission Church in Bloomingdale, and we have a 55-plus ministry. It's called Legacy, and we meet twice a month on Thursday nights. We have fellowship and teaching and small group discussion, and I'm a facilitator in that group.
Boom.
And I also serve in the kids ministry and a couple other areas in the church. And we are just always encouraged to give back to the church in our age range, and also get out in the communities and just spread the word of God in the communities.
Carol.
Our pastor of our senior group always says, if you're not dead, you're not done.
Sister, that's worth putting on a bumper sticker.
If you're not dead, you're not done.
We need to get old classic bumper stickers. If you're not dead, you're not done.
You know what? I like it.
Oh, Joe in Chicago. What do you say, Joe?
Hi, Carl. So I worked at a company for 34 and a half years, and I always knew I had a call for ministry, but so I retired in 2018, and 2 years ago, I'm 67 now, I got ordained, and I'm doing more now than I ever did when I was younger. I don't feel 67, I feel younger, yep. More younger, but God has done unbelievable things with the community where I'm at, and actually worked with the police and with Chicagoland United in Prayer and all the other ones. It's just like, it just never ends.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Brother, keep it up. He's 67, just got ordained.
Fantastic.
Oh,
fantastic.
Let's get one more in here.
Marvella from South Holland, what has God called you to do to serve the church in your stage of life?
Well, I'm with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and our goal is to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We train other people to get into the public schools with after-school Bible clubs that are called Good News Clubs,
yep.
And I'm the area coordinator, and I love it. It's nothing like seeing a child come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have opportunities to go into our public schools and with Bible clubs.
People don't know that, do they, Marvella? They think they're closed, but they are not closed.
No. Wide open.
Marvella.
We just need volunteers.
Marvella, stay on the horn. I'm going to get you in here someday. We're going to get you as a guest. Stay on the horn. You didn't know what you bargained for there, sister, when you called us today, but stay on the horn, okay? Don't leave. Taking your calls today. What? Man, I'm telling you, I am going to spontaneously combust. This is a vision for primetimers that we all need to get.
It's the variety we've heard this morning.
Unbelievable variety.
So many different opportunities. We're asking you, primetimers, you're in your 60s or 70s. What has God called you to do in this season of life, this stage of life, to serve the church? 312-274-9624.
Making herself laugh no matter who joins her. It's time for Allie Thinks It's Funny.
Missed you last week. I was out sick, so didn't get you any jokes, but I'm reloaded and ready. First up, you have a phone, right? Not sure if you do this so much with your smartphone, but back in the day, you remember you could put somebody on speed dial?
Oh, yeah.
Remember those days? Okay, what do you call it when you put your grandmother on speed dial? When you put good old grandma on speed dial, what do you call it?
I don't know.
Instagram. Thank you to a Boom Crew listener for that joke submission.
You aren't laughing in thunder. That's pretty good.
Mid. Learned that one from my kids. Carl, I think you'll like this one.
Okay.
How does a hamburger introduce his girlfriend?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Meat patty.
That's good.
You get a good one from
That's
me.
That's a good one.
Also a Boom Crew submission. So thank you for that joke. That one was I liked that one. Meat patty. You want the jokes this week? Just text the word jokes to 312-274-9624. Jokes to 312-274-9624.
It's pretty good. Young Thunder, you were chuckling in there.
The meat patty one was funny. I chuckled at that one. I can admit it when I think something's funny.
He tries hard not to laugh. Nobody tries harder.
Yes, you do try not to
Nobody
laugh.
Nobody tries harder to avoid laughing at my jokes than Jonathan.
That is not
but
true.
Every
you
once
do.
In a while.
You sit in there and you try to go stone face,
this
man.
This look of derision. It's okay. I think they're funny, and that's all that matters.
It doesn't matter if Young Thunder thinks it's funny. That's not the segment.
Text jokes. You'll get those, too. Ah, yeah, man. You can smell the ocean. Are you kidding me? You can smell it.
You can always smell it when the Beach Boys are in town.
Crank it up.
She forgot all about the library like she told her old man now. And with the radio blasting, goes cruising just as fast as she can now. And she'll have fun till the night takes a T-Rid away.
I think he might have been smart on that one. It's Carl and Crew. Mornings here, helping you take your next step with Jesus. It is Moody Radio 90.1. You're listening to here.
We're playing music for the target audience today. Our prime timers, 60s and 70s. You remember that classic?
Yeah, big time. Barbara in Chicago. Barbara in Chicago. What do you say, sister?
Hi. I'm in courtside ministry. I'm 62 and I do courtside ministry, and we're a Christian organization. It's nationwide, but we stand out in front of the courthouses. Like yesterday I was at Skokie. Usually I'm at Daly Center, and we ask people if they want prayer, and it's great. I mean, it's a mission field. Like yesterday was one guy, young, but was doing alcohol and drugs and wants to go to a 12 step because he wants to see his 5-year-old son again. So it's great.
Oh.
I'm busier now than I was. My kids are grown, and I'm busier now than I've ever done.
Barbara, you're killing it, sister.
Awesome.
You are killing it. I didn't even know these ministries were going on.
It's an amazing ministry.
Barbara, I would imagine people headed into court are probably pretty open to prayer. Am I right?
Yes. They're low point. But we get anybody, especially when you're downtown at Daly Center. That's a good hub. So you get all sorts of people. It's not just the people going inside of court.
I'm all out of adjectives this morning. I'm done. I don't have any more adjectives.
Fire coming out of your ears.
Oh, come on. Sheila, first time caller, Twin Lakes. What do you say?
Hey, good morning, Boom Crew. What I wanted to say, my husband and I are 66 years old, and we are very involved in our church. But the one I want to tell you about is my brother who lives in Alabama. His name is Rick, and he's 75 years old. He's an ex-Vietnam vet. When he came out, he's always played in a band. He's played for famous people, probably ones that you wouldn't know, but, you know, always.
Yeah, big bands.
Always playing. And then so his church, where he goes to in Alabama, needed a bass player. And, you know, all these young kids are on stage, and no one knew how to play the bass. And my brother's like, dude, I can play the bass.
I'll bet he did say dude.
I know. So my brother is 75 years old, and he is slapping that bass at Glory Fellowship Baptist Church in Jasper, Alabama. And he is loving it, and those young people on that stage love
it. They dig it, too. Yeah, is he a slapper?
He plays with a pick. Most bass players don't play with a pick.
Oh my goodness! And he's a
slapper. But he can walk up and down a bass player, a bass like Paul McCartney, and so you know, he's putting runs in these top 40 Christian songs.
That is awesome, Sheila. I'm proud of your brother with you. First time caller from Twin Lakes. This is what we're talking about today, right here. This is it. We're talking about moving from a mindset that we're kind of going out to pasture to saying, no, we're coming into the whoop and wharf of ministry. This is your season. This is the time. We need you in the church. Today is the day. I want you to pray and ask God, God, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? So inspiring, Allie. I mean, sometimes I think we can think, is there anything good going on out there?
But this morning is a clear indicator that there are 60s and 70s prime timers fully engaged, serving the church in some really unique ways.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.